The Gospel Age and Foreword. The Three Great Feasts, a Picture of God's Plan of Salvation. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. God gave Israel commandments to observe feasts unto him, associated with the events of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. These feasts were reiterated several times, and were to be kept when they came into the land of Canaan. Though these feasts are often approached as separate studies, we will consider them together as a unified whole. In this way, God's entire plan of salvation can be seen through the sequence of these feasts and their relationship to each other. We will then review 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 22 and 23, to see how the progression of these feasts displays God's entire plan of salvation. The three great feasts and the laws concerning them are given in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 6 through 22, and verses 33 through 43. These feasts were associated with holy convocations, or solemn assemblies, in which all the males were to appear before the Lord in the place that God would choose to place his name. Exodus chapter 23, verses 14 through 17, Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 2, 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 16 and 29. This location would be at the site of the tabernacle, and later at the site of the temple. During the solemn assemblies, they were to do no servile work. In other words, they were to cease from their day-to-day tasks and focus on the object of these feasts, and the one true God who provided all their blessings. God was essentially commanding them to pay attention to what God was doing for them. They were to cease from their own works and do the works of God. These feasts were associated with the results of Israel's agriculture and had to do either with the first fruits of specific crops or with the ingathering of their entire fruitage at the end of the year. Since agriculture was their source of physical sustenance, they were to thank God for his watch care and blessing of their labors. In Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 through 5, God tells them if they would walk in his statutes, then they would have rain, bountiful harvests, be safe in their land, and God would protect them. Israel knew they had no control over the elements. God wanted them to acknowledge that all of their blessings came from him, contingent upon their observance and obedience to his statutes. So, properly, these feasts were not merely celebrations for successful farming, but were feasts unto God himself, as the source of all their blessings. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Exodus chapter 23, verse 14. The First Feast. First is the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. The Passover occurs on the 14th day of the first month, followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days, beginning on Nisan 15 and continuing through Nisan 21. The first and last days of this feast were Sabbaths and holy convocations. But note that Nisan 16, the second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, was specifically not a holy convocation. Harvesting the barley crop, the earliest crop of the year, began while this Feast of Unleavened Bread was being observed. The priests waved a sheaf of first fruits of the barley on Nisan 16 and sacrificed a lamb for the burnt offering before any new grain could be eaten in Israel. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 10 through 14. Waving the barley sheaf pictured the resurrection of Jesus on the morrow after the Sabbath. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 11, Nisan 16. This day was not a holy convocation. It had no special observance or meaning to Israel, other than indicating the point after which the newly harvested barley could be eaten. This seems to indicate that the resurrection of Jesus on Nisan 16 was unexpected in Israel, even by Jesus' closest followers. And this is what we find. The women who went to Jesus' tomb on Nisan 16 were going to anoint Jesus' body with spices. Others who heard the resurrection news ran with excitement and amazement to see for themselves. Christ was risen from the dead and became the first of the firstfruits of them that slept. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. The resurrected Christ revealed himself to his apostles several times, including the remarkable discussion on the road to Emmaus, preparing them for the wonderful events of Pentecost. He had told them to tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. But really, they had no idea what this meant. The Second Feast. The Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, The second feast in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 through 21, was also a holy convocation and Sabbath. It took place on the 50th day, counting from Nisan 16 as day 1 and Sivan 6 as day 50. On this day, the priests would wave two wheat loaves, baked with leaven, from the first fruits of the wheat crop, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 17. These were accompanied by various animal sacrifices, meat offerings, drink offerings, etc. These loaves represented the acceptance of the little flock and great company through the merit of Christ's sacrifice, which would first be possible at Pentecost, 33 AD, as indicated by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This was the power from on high, Luke chapter 24, verse 49, and the Comforter, John chapter 14, verse 26, chapter 16, verse 7. It takes the entire age of sacrifice to fully gather all of these two classes, also referred to as first fruits. As Pentecost 33 AD approached, devout Jews of all nations made the long and expensive trip for this special holy convocation, swelling Jerusalem's population to between 1 and 2 million, Acts chapter 2, verse 5. As they arrived in Jerusalem, it is likely that Jesus was the talk of the town. He had healed the sick, raised the dead, taught the people, cleansed the temple, denounced the Pharisees, and in all of this appeared to be invincible. Then he was taken, crucified, offering no resistance, while his closest followers fled. Afterward, it was rumored that Jesus had been resurrected and had appeared to his followers on several occasions. These devout men, the best of the best of Israel, felt compelled to find out what was really happening. Peter spoke to them with clarity and resolve. The result was that 3,000 transferred from Moses to Christ, begotten of the Holy Spirit, beginning the opportunity for the body of Christ and the church of the firstborn. In the type, the counting cycle of 50 days, beginning with the waving of the barley sheaf on day 1 and the two loaves on day 50, all considered first fruits, shows the association of these classes, who, in the antitype, were all begotten of the Holy Spirit. These feasts could not happen until Israel had come into the land, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 10. In the wilderness, they ate manna and raised no crops. When Israel entered the land, they drove out the Canaanites and possessed the land. From Reprit 5705, we believe that the expulsion and destruction of these sinful nations by Israel was a type of how the people of God today, spiritual Israel, are to take possession of their human bodies. We are, as new creatures, to conquer, to destroy these tendencies of the flesh, and fill the place of the former occupants with holy, pure thoughts, desires, ambitions, purposes, habits. So, this coming into the land pictures the availability of the Holy Spirit to transform our characters in ways that were never before possible. The third feast. The third feast is the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Ingathering, Exodus chapter 23, verse 16, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33 through 43, 5 days after the Day of Atonement. It began on the 15th day of month 7, Tishri, exactly 6 months from the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This 8-day observance was a feast unto God for the results of all of Israel's agriculture of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Exodus chapter 23, verse 16. The feast began with a holy convocation, or Sabbath, and ended 8 days later with the great day of the feast, another Sabbath. On this 8th day, Israel would sing the great Hallel, the songs of praise to God, in Psalms chapters 113 to 118. During this feast, the priests would read the whole law to the children of Israel. At the end of every 7 years, in the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 10 through 13. This is a picture of when the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and mankind will finally be able to come into the land and rid themselves of their sinful tendencies, the Canaanites in the breast, and become fully reconciled to God. This warfare of Israel against their enemies may also be a picture of conditions in the millennium. During the millennial age, the world, under the guidance of Christ and the Church, will be brought into a condition which will fit them to have possession of the whole earth. Reprint 5707. The reading of the Great Hallel on the great day of the feast pictures mankind appreciating the blessings of full reconciliation to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Psalms chapter 113, verse 2. God also shows the unified purpose of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Booths, and how they commemorate God's plan of salvation from the bondage of sin and death through ransom and restitution. Exodus chapter 12, verse 17. And ye shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 43. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Paul's summary. Paul's two-verse summary of God's plan of salvation relates directly to this lesson. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. Brother Russell comments, the common version rendering is obscure. Verse 23 should read, but every man in his own order. The anointed firstfruits, afterward, they that are Christ's in his presence, during his parousia, the 1,000 years of Christ's reign. Reprint 59:65. So, these three great feasts, all to be observed by Israel in one complete growing season, picture God's complete plan of salvation of ransom and restitution. This plan will produce the Christ, head and body, the anointed firstfruits, and then enable the ingathering, the reconciling of all mankind to God. The eighth, or great day of the feast, is the fulfillment of God's promise in Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.